All right, so the last speaker for this weekend, the enemy, the battle, and the victory. We get to hear Luke Wilson send us off. I think that's appropriate. Always very much appreciate about Luke that Luke has definite purpose and definite direction. And those are super qualities for leadership. And Luke just has a particular extra measure of those. And so I always really appreciate not only what he says, but I appreciate his force of direction. And so, Luke, you're the right guy for the job. It's all yours, pal.
Good morning. You guys turn your Bible to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. I will say this. I've been looking around, and first of all, I'm going to say awesome Peaks. Always. Peak's been so instrumental in my life, my kids' lives. Some of the people, by God's grace, I've been able to disciple. Actually, there's been times that Peaks has been the difference in somebody making it or not. Sometimes somebody barely hanging on, and they make it here to Peaks, and it's just enough to keep them in there. And he's just really thankful for everybody's part in that. The fellowship's awesome. I see good spiritual conversation everywhere. The encouragement. Everybody chipping in, doing their part is great. I do notice, though, that we've had to cram a lot in the last couple days. And the heat's here. I see the eyes fatigued. So I am going to rapid fire scale this baby down and try to think about what are the main things I want to say and leave it at that. So, I'll do my best. You guys do your best. Let's finish this thing strong, huh? So, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6. For after all, it's only just for God to repay with affliction those who afflict you, to give relief to you who are afflicted and to us as well, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. And these will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he comes to be glorified in his saints on that day, and to be marveled at among all who have believed, for our testimony to you was believed. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we do praise your great and glorious name. We look forward with great anticipation to your return, knowing that you are coming soon. Father, we do look forward to that day when everything is made right and made right for eternity. I ask, Lord, that you would strengthen us to be a part of this victory, that we would understand the way that this all ends, and that then we would direct our lives accordingly. I ask you to be with me today as I preach your word, that it would be a great finish to this great Peaks, and then we can all go forth charged up to do what our brother Mike was just talking about, to win each day for you. I ask this all through Jesus' name. Amen. You know, this is a passage that we oftentimes use for Bible studies with people. If you don't have to get very far into the track of God's plan of salvation, and you're hitting people with this passage, right? Because the reality of it is, there are two groups of people that are going to be judged on that final day. Those who don't know God, those who don't obey the gospel. Really, it's one group, two classifications there. And so I think most of us are familiar with this passage and it laid that out. Now, I will say this by quick way of intro. I tell people, I've told people countless times that this is one of the most difficult passages for me to swallow. Those who don't obey, that seems simple. Those who don't know, I mean, is that a hang up for a lot of people? You mean God's going to judge people who don't know? Yep. And I've said it's hard for me a little bit to swallow. But the more you understand God, and we know this, God is just. And the more you understand Him and are made into His likeness, the more you understand His justice in the way that He says this. And it is actually the end is going to be victory for His people and absolute, utter, total defeat for anybody who is not with Him. So just a couple things I want to say today. I think the mathematician Pascal, the philosopher Soren Kierkegaard, agreed about something. And in simple terms, they both said, you have to define your life backwards and then live it forward. Now, I think that's a very simple thing. It is true. When you're a kid, I remember a kid going to Pizza Hut, and they got the little mazes, right? And so you got your start and you got your finish. And I found something out really quick as a kid trying to do stuff fast. Work it from the back. It's almost always way easier to start from the finish, okay, to go to the front. It's true in geometry. You're learning mathematics. If you're going to do geometry, you have to know where you're going. Sometimes we see absolute crazy wild stuff in a kid's geometry proof. It's like, what in the world does this have to do with anything that we're trying to? You have to know where you're going. And then you can, once you've defined it backwards, you can live it forwards. It's true in this physical existence. If you don't know where you're trying to get to, here, the peaks, where this is at, then you can start from wherever the starting point is. And if you don't know where you're trying to get to, you ain't going to make it. And it's true spiritually. And so I want us to just really quickly, all of us here, the majority of us here at least, we have absolute confidence, and reasonably so, that the Bible's the Word of God. So one of the things that God tells us in no uncertain terms is that there is absolute victory for Jesus Christ at His return. It's simple. There's no secret rapture. There's no second chances for people. When Jesus comes again, there are two groups of people. There are those who are going to be shrinking back in shame at His coming, and those who are eagerly awaiting Him. That's it. So, and it's certain, it's sure. So I like to know that starting point. Okay, victory for Jesus is sure. We've read the back of the book. We've seen the end of this thing, the way it's going to play out. And when He comes, those who are with Him are the called and chosen and faithful. Those are the victors. Everybody else, defeat forever. You're going to deal out retribution to those who don't know God, to those who don't obey the gospel, and these will pay the penalty of eternal destruction. Now, this might be a little weird. I might be jumping ahead of myself a little bit, but I've said I've struggled sometimes with those who don't know God. But the picture of victory that I really enjoy here is that at that day of Christ's return, there is a part of me, and I'm saying this from a pure heart. Anybody who knows me knows I love individuals. I love souls. I want people to make it. I am willing to do everything I can for an individual to make it to glory. But guys, I have been kicked out of homeless dude's pads. I've had doors slammed in my face. I've been ghosted countless times. I've had people come in, get in, and then turn around and do nothing but say bad about me. I've had people get in, bail out, basically cuss you on the way out. I've had people just give up for whatever purposes, for whatever reasons. I mean, go to Revelation chapter 3. There is a part of this that I am looking forward to. This, the ultimate is, I'm looking forward for Jesus Christ, His name above all names, and that name can be made known, and every knee bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father, and every tongue is going to do that. Throughout all of history, the most stubborn, the most rebellious, the most stiff-necked, the most uncircumcised of heart and ears are going to bow down and say, Jesus, you are Lord. I look forward with great anticipation to that day. That is a victory. But there's another part of this that I got to tell you, I also look forward to. Revelation chapter 3, verse 9. Behold, I will cause those of the synagogue of Satan, who say that they are Jews and are not, but lie. Behold, I will make them to come down, to come and bow down at your feet, and to know that I have loved you. Everybody that's trying to shout you down, everybody that's trying to silence you, shut your mouth, run you out, tear you down, there is a day coming at Christ's return where he is going to be glorified, and every single human being that has done that to you is going to admit God loves you and you were right. I'm not trying to be arrogant about this. I am telling you from a position of somebody who is a warrior in the Lord's army, of which we all are. I sit down with somebody and I know this is the opportunity of an eternity for them. This is it. This is their chance to hear the truth of Jesus Christ and be obedient to it. And if they reject that, they're not rejecting me, they're rejecting Jesus Christ, but they miss an opportunity of an eternity. That's the reality. Spiritual war. With the Spirit in us, man to man. Now, victory for the Lord, sure. Those are with him, called, chosen, faithful. You know, along this way, talked about the enemy, the battle, the victory. Along the way, it's not easy, but it is simple. There's a fork in the road. And that fork in the road is flesh or spirit. That fork in the road is earth or heaven. It's really hell or heaven, but that's not the way it's sold. Earth or heaven. That fork in the road is either temporary pleasure right now or eternal pleasure. That fork in the road is either skating out away, no pain now. I'm going to say temporary persecution or eternal persecution, pain. Hey, this is a reality. There's a fork here. And this passage starts out, it is only just for God to repay with affliction those who afflict you. Friend, the choice is here. The fork in the road is right here. There's a quote I want to say from C.S. Lewis. And unfortunately, C.S. Lewis himself did not follow through on this or got taken out by this. He said, there are only two kinds of people in the end. Those who say to God, your will be done. And those to whom God says in the end, your will be done. All that are in hell, choose it. Without that self-choice, there could be no hell. No soul that seriously and constantly desires joy will ever miss it. Those who seek, find. Those who knock, it is opened. I think C.S. Lewis said that well. God is just. People choose where they're going to end up. C.S. Lewis somewhere had a spot, didn't he? Where he wasn't willing to choose heaven over earth. He was going to leave baptism and the sacraments to the church of England instead of what the Bible says. Bad choice. This is a reality. This is what we're looking at. Now, let's just... Victory is sure. It is guaranteed for Jesus. It's guaranteed for the faithful. Question for you. I said there's two groups. I know I've mentioned two groups. So, big picture, two groups. Those who shrink back in shame and those who eagerly await. So, question for you. Are you eagerly awaiting Jesus' return? Would you put yourself in that category? I eagerly awaiting. I am going to ask for a verbal on this. Okay? Who here is eagerly awaiting the Lord's return? Okay. So if we're eagerly awaiting the Lord's return, let me put this way. There's a guy I Bible study with, and Matthew was a little guy. He probably about 5 years old, probably. And this guy, he actually did become a Christian, has gone on to his reward. But at the time, this guy, he was a little bit of an ornery fella. He came over to our house for Bible studies, and we'd always let Matthew go get the door for this guy. Okay? So Matthew, 5 years old or so, don't get in the door, and this guy would come in. And, week after week after week. Well, one night, you know the way Montana is. You can go from right now it's light late, and you get into October, November, it's dark early. So it's pitch black at a regular Bible study time. The guy comes over to our house. Matthew opens the door. And the guy on the other side of the door is not who Matthew was anticipating. It's actually the guy, but wearing a mask. And it scared poor Matthew out of his wits. That guy was poor. The guy just didn't have what are you doing? Scared me, actually. Poor Matthew's like, I don't want to open that door again for a long. Now, the reason I'm bringing this illustration up is there are going to be a lot of people on the day of Jesus' return that he is different than who they were anticipating. And it not because he wearing a mask, it because they've been wearing a mask. And on that day, if you are not ready to see Jesus, let me say this. You are not ready to see Jesus on that day if you do not see him now today. If you don't know, if you're not seeing him. So go with me to 1 John. Just want to make this really quick, but drive this point home. You ever heard the songs that talk about when Jesus comes back, I'm going to recognize him by the nail, the scars that he has, the nail prints in his hand. Come on, guys. What? Where do you get this stuff from? Flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom, right? In 1 John 3, I like this because John, who kind of the way he would, I'm taking what he said, the disciple whom Jesus loved, I would say he regarded himself Jesus' best friend, knew this guy, touched him, knew him face to face. And in 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, he says, "Beloved, now we're children of God. It's not appeared as yet what we shall be. We know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him just as he is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure." Who are you going to see when Jesus comes back? He's going to be glorified in his saints on that day. And the Jesus who's coming back is not Jesus in the flesh. It is not the physical bodily appearance that John recognized in the flesh. It is the glorified Christ who is going to return. And if you are not seeing the glorified Christ now, you are not ready for him at his return. Let's go to the book of Revelation again. Revelation chapter 6. Revelation 6:16. This is the group that's going to be judged. Revelation 6:16. They said to the mountains and the rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the presence of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb." These guys are terrified. I think about 9/11, and one of the just pictures in my mind is people hurling themselves out of the windows, stories above, because to them, that certain pain is worse than what's coming. That's people on the wrong side of Jesus' return. Please fall on us, to the mountains and the rocks, because they are terrified of the face of God, the face of the Lamb. They don't want that. So, question for us. Anybody eagerly awaiting him? Okay. So, now the follow-up. How's that say that? 2 Corinthians 3:18. We all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. God has told us, you can see me as I am. He has made that available to us. Just trying not to kid myself here. If I say I really am looking forward with great anticipation, eagerly awaiting the Lord's return, and I have the opportunity to see him every day in his word, and I don't do that, do you think I want to see him very bad? Is that a fair question? Oh yeah, I want to see you, Lord. I want to see you, Lord. Here I am. I mean, for the Christian, the Lord does stand at the door and knock, doesn't he? He wants to see us. He's given us that opportunity. So the victory is sure. I can define my life backwards. I can live it forward. And here's what I want to do. Every single day, every single moment, but the moments are going to flow from the daily choices to see Jesus as he is in the scriptures. I would encourage you, brethren. One of the things I've chosen to do myself this every day this year when I'm finishing up my prayer, there's three words. I'm just going to mention one of them, but I say this in my prayer. I just write this word down, and that word is glory. Because I want to make sure that when I am reading the scriptures and praying from the word, that I am seeing Jesus as he is. The glorified Christ is revealed in the scriptures. I'm not trying to see Jesus walking around in the flesh. I'm thankful for that. Very thankful for that. I'm not trying to see Jesus nailed to the cross. I'm thankful for that. I'm not trying to see Jesus standing next to the empty tomb. I'm thankful for that. I want to see Jesus as he is, the one who's coming back. The one who's coming back for the group who is eagerly awaiting him, to be marveled at among all those who believe. I want to know him. Because if I don't know him, and the door opens, and it's somebody different than I expected on the other side, that's terrifying. The victory, sure. Jesus wins. Those who are with him, the called, chosen, faithful. Brother, I would encourage you, make sure you're, a part of this. Whether anybody likes Michael Jordan's leadership style or it's the best or not, that's a lot of question probably for that. But there was a quote that he had when he was accused of, some people from the outside accused him of being a tyrant back on those world championship Chicago Bulls teams. And I like what he said. He said, well, first of all, people accuse him of being a tyrant. He said, well, that's you. So that's you because you never won anything. That's fair. I like guys who call it how it is. That's you. You never want anything. You can say whatever you want without being a part of this, right? But he said, I wanted to win. But I wanted them, talking about his teammates, I wanted them to win and be a part of that as well. And he goes on and he talks about, I pushed them beyond where they wanted to be pushed. And I was willing to do that because I wanted them to be a part of the victory. I want us to be a part of this victory. So sometimes people are pushing us a little bit, challenging us, asking us, the Lord's asking us to step up, that next step, to be conformed, to be transformed into his image. Brother, take that step with a good attitude because the victory is going to be awesome. Mark Miller did a great job. We get to be a part of that victory, and it's going to be great. It is an honor. Psalm 149, read the end of that. It's an honor for the saints to get to be a part of that. But along the way, this time we're going to be pushed. Jesus is going to win. He wants to win. He's going to win. That's certain. But he wants us to be a part of it as well, doesn't he? And so I just want to close today. Define your life backwards. Live it forward. Make sure that you care enough about this victory to see him as he is. The rest, the victory, he'll give it to you. That's our part to do. And if we're not doing that, I'm going to push you here. If you're not doing that, and I don't just mean hitting the checklist of your Bible, maybe you're not even doing that. If you are not seeing Jesus in glory, then you're not going to be a part of that victory. I want to win. I want you to win too. So let's follow the Lord's plan for victory. Thank you.
Hey, let's go ahead and stand, man.